Well, hallelujah. Well, is Jesus your King today? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he awesome? Hallelujah. Well, there is nothing greater than a relationship with God. It's so exciting to be a child of God. Every day is new. It's different. And no 2 days are the same. There's always a new opportunity, a new experience to be had, a new way to be used of God, to seize the opportunities that come, to be able to even recognize the opportunities when they present themselves, and then to be able to allow God to rise up in us in order for us to be the people that he's called us to be in the lives of everyone that we meet. How awesome is that? How wonderful is that? How amazing is it to be a child of God? Are you excited about that? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, man, I tell you, I thought I had fun when I was in the world. But let me tell you, when you come to Christ, man, it really becomes an adventure. I tell you, you never know what is going to happen. And there's always something that comes at you. And sometimes you got to be like a ninja, ducking and leaping and flying over stuff. And you just got to be able to navigate through a lot of the things that are coming your way and still maintain your composure and still hold it together so that you can be effective at being who God made you to be. And each of us has been given a certain skill set, if you will, that will enable us to be effective for the sake of the kingdom of God. And as we walk with the Lord, he enables every life experience, every event that takes place in our life to become an opportunity to become more like Jesus, to become more and more seasoned. Have you ever been to like a highfalutin, high class event where you dress up and everything is formal and there's all types of food and people gather and you're in these settings? Have you ever been to any type of gala event like that? Well, one of the interesting things about those, and you know, I used to do those when I was working down in Manhattan, and I used to do them pretty much almost every day. And it was so exciting because every day there was something new. But one of the things that was most exciting was that whenever these events would take place, they don't just, pull all these things together, like just throwing things together. But there's careful planning that goes into these things. And one of the things that happens that's a part of that planning process is just before the event, as things are in their final preparation stages, there's what's known as a tasting. Are you familiar with this? You know what a tasting is? A tasting is when, right before the event, they kind of pull together a sample of all the different things that are going to be utilized in that event, so that you can kind of get a feel for it ahead of time. And if you need to make any changes or adjustments, that would be the time to do it. You would have samples of the food, the table settings, the way the tables would be laid out. There's a sample of the colors and the what the design is going to be, the decor. All of that is kind of laid out, and you kind of get a little taste for what it's going to be like. And then you can have something to become excited about. It's for the whole idea is that everyone would become pumped up to get excited about what is about to happen. And it's being fine-tuned so that in those last preparation days, whether it's the week before and in that upcoming week, you're able to kind of pull it all together. And that's when you really are making your final prep. And everybody is fired up for it. And this is what is happening in our lives as the people of God. God is giving us the opportunity as we walk through life, as we go through the life experiences that we have, we're able to have these experiences that are going to give us a taste of what heaven is going to be like, of what our relationship with God is ultimately going to be like. It's going to be so much better than what we realize. And so because it's so foreign to us, the whole Christian life is so contrary to what we are familiar with and what we understand, Jesus had to come in order to give us a little tasting so that we can see what we have to look forward to. Look, what we are to be excited about, because God is doing something great and awesome in our lives. And that is why you and I ought to be the most excited people on the planet. It's because we are tasting and seeing what is coming, what our future holds. And so in 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." This is an exciting passage, because when we look at Jesus in the Word of God, when we look at the Scripture, we get an idea, we get a taste of who Jesus is and what he is all about and what he is capable of. And it's a picture or a reflection of what you and I will become, of what God is doing in our lives. We are becoming like Jesus. God is molding us and shaping us into the image of Christ. No, you'll still be you. Don't get me wrong. You will still be you, but you're going to be the Jesus version of you. I think that's even more cool. Hallelujah. And so God is not trying to make you into something else. He's trying to make you a better version of yourself, a more refined, empowered version, so that instead of it being Jesus doing all the things that Jesus would do, now it's you. And so God rises up in the midst of our lives and empowers us so that we can be just like him. And that is why I'm calling today's topic, "The Right Seasoning Seasoned Right." The right seasoning seasoned right. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would mold us and shape us. Lord, transform our hearts, renew our minds, and help us to have a vision of what our future will be, that we will become more and more like Jesus, that our desire will be to be more like him, a desire for you and your kingdom. Season us, Lord. Make us spicy so that we can have flavor and be able to effect a hunger and a desire in the hearts and minds of those around us for the cause of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Jesus came into this world with a purpose. He was on a mission. He didn't just show up and just kind of like try to figure out what he was going to do and how things were going to work. But he knew who he was and what his mission was. And God had a plan to transform humanity. And this is what Jesus came to do. And he understood that. And that is why he was so focused and purposed in his mission. And you and I have also been called to that same purpose, that same focus, that same mission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, all believers, right? We're all familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew. And so you and I are called to take up the mantle and fulfill the call of God. And this is what God is doing in our lives. But in order for us to really be effective at this, we have to be seasoned. Now, I know, you know, whenever you think of seasoning, you think of, you know, I know some of you like thinking adobo, you know, you got the, you know, those flavors, you know, that coming in and, you know, that you put it and you're, you know, you're basting your meat there and letting it soak in, right? In order to get the flavors really rich, you know, your meat has to kind of, it has to soak, right? You have to season it. It's got to sit for a while, right? Even if you cook a good burger on the grill, that season is coming, yes. And, you know, after you cook it, you know, it has to rest, right? Are you familiar with this? You know, you don't just take it off the grill and just grab it up and be, you know, you might want to, but it's always best to let it rest, right? The meat should always rest after it comes out of the oven or off the stove, and that gives it time to for the flavors and everything to caramelize together and pull together so that you can have an enriched experience. And this is what God is doing in our lives. God is allowing us to go through the various experiences that we have in life, challenges, hardships, and difficulties, all designed based on the decisions that we make. And as we make decisions, God says, well, that's going to create an experience for you. And your job is to learn from that experience and keep in mind who you are and what you are to become. And that is the children of God. You and I must keep in mind. We must never forget. In 1 John 3:2, he says, and now we are children of God. That is the first thing you must remember. You are a child of God. You're not a heathen. You're not some random person off the street, some person who has no purpose, no reason for living, no direction. You have a call from God. You are in a covenant relationship with God, and there is a contract between you and the Lord sealed with the blood of Jesus that identifies you as a child of God. Now, you and I don't understand fully what we will become, but we do know that when Christ appears, we're going to look alike. Hallelujah. We will be like him. Not necessarily in our appearance, but in our attributes, in our ways, in our mindsets. We will be like him. We will be from the same realm, the same place. We will have a same or similar purpose and focus. And so we see here in Matthew, Jesus kind of breaks this down and he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You and your relationship with God should not be hidden. It needs to shine so that people can see who you are. You are a child of God. You are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you know it is the power of God unto salvation. You are purposed, you are focused, you are intent in the things that you do and the way you live your life because you are becoming salt and light to those in your life. God brings people into your life so that you can have an impact on them for the sake of the kingdom of God. And there's a process that God brings us through. And we see that as we look here in the Word of God. But he asked this question in verse 15, does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket? But the lampstand. Nobody does that. They put it on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. He goes on, he says, so let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, you have a reason for living. There is a reason, there is a purpose behind the blessings that you receive, behind the challenges that you faced, behind the difficulties and all of the issues that we kind of cry over and say, oh God, why me? No. But God says, I'm seasoning you. I'm seasoning you so that you can be salty, so that you can be more refined, so that you can be tenderized. We're gonna brush over you with the brine. Oh, and let the juices soak in, even though you're under intense heat. Oh, the pressure might be on, but God says, I'm gonna brine you with a nice seasoned solution that will enable you to reflect the kingdom of God and to be the person that God has called you to be. And so we see this in the life of Abraham. We see how Abraham was the first, he was an idol worshiper. You're familiar with the story of Abraham and how God called him and his family, actually his father felt this desire to leave out of Ur. And he was called out, and Abraham with his whole house. And when God calls you, he calls the whole house. house, your whole family, everyone. God desires for everyone in your family to be saved, to experience God, the reality of God, the power of God, the strength of God, so that you can work together, so you can support each other, so you can be on the same page, so that you can be effective, so that when you come in from the battles of the day, you can help each other heal and become strengthened and renewed in your walk with God. Abraham had this experience and God pulled him out. Abraham was the first of his family to have a relationship with God. He was the first one. Many of us, we're the only Christians in our families. Our parents weren't saved, our grandparents. We don't really know anybody in our families that served and walked with the Lord. And so we become the first one. And that is a good thing, because that means God has a plan for your lineage. God has a plan to redeem your house and your family. And so God begins to lead you out. And every one of us has had this experience where we came to the Lord. We gave our hearts to God. And we said, God, we're going to forsake our old ways, our old lifestyle, all the other things that we used to do. And we're going to align ourselves in obedience to your word. And the first thing we must learn to do is to hear the voice of the Lord and to obey his word. Any Christian that cannot apply the word of God and obey the word of God in their life will never change. They will never be any different. That's why the world criticizes Christians. That's why the world has all these negative things to say and has a ways of mocking the people of God. It's because so many Christians fail to apply the word of God in their lives. We fail to live out the word of God. Gandhi himself, he said, show me a Christian who's living like a Christian and I too will become a Christian. Whoa. So you and I are faced with this great challenge, and not that we have to be perfect, but it ought to be the mindset that we have. It is our goal. It is our desire. And we are digging in, searching that God would be able to ignite life in us. And that is what God is doing. He is bringing us through this process, seasoning us and letting us soak in the ways of life so that the seasoning of God's word and the Spirit of God can become a brine solution to us that will enable us to be renewed and refreshed, that we would be seasoned in the Lord. And so Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Saints of God, all you have is your name in this life. Your name is everything. And that is why God wants to make your name great. He wants to make our names great. Why? Because our name is in the name of Jesus. We are wrought in God. That is why when you get to heaven, the Bible says you will get a new name. Hallelujah. One that's not tainted with a sinful past, but it is a new name that is given to you. And the Bible says the day that you come to the Lord, it's written down in glory. Hallelujah. There's a new name. So even when the Spirit of God is interceding for you, he's interceding in behalf of the new name that God has given you. You have a new name. You have a name that is tied to your rebirth in Christ, your born again experience in God. And that name is the name of blessing. How often have you heard people pray, oh Lord, bless me. Oh Lord, do this, do that. Lord, I need help. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, do this, do that. And it's, we're asking God for all these things. But how often do you hear people pray, God, make me a blessing to someone else? God, make me a blessing. God, make my name great, that you would be lifted up, that you would be exalted. Not that I would be exalted, but that your name would be great in the midst of my life, so that you would be blessed, even as I am blessed. How often do you hear people pray, God, make me a blessing to others? This is what you and I need to pray. Because once you begin to pray and ask God to make you a blessing, then God begins to do all kinds of things in your life, because he knows it's not just for you. God is not looking for people who want to build a dam. He's looking for people who want to open the floodgates and let the living waters flow through them. He is looking for people who, when he pours into them, that they will channel the water to the right places so that the blessings will flow out to others. God wants to use people to be a blessing to other people. This is why some are blessed and others are not. It's because there are those who hold on and tighten up and they don't open up the windows and the doors and allow the blessing to flow through. But their concern is for themselves and not for others. And this is the mindset of God. God came to save the world, to have life impact on everyone. Every single one. And you and I are a part of that process. It never goes away. He is looking to make his name great. And you and I are called by his name, are we not? We are called by his name. And so the name of the Lord, when it gets lifted up, you also are lifted up because you are called by his name. And so verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in all you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Oh, saints of God, don't you want to be a part of that blessing? The reason you're the only Christian on your job, the reason your neighbors don't know the Lord and your friends don't know the Lord is because God has raised you up to be the blessing to them. And God wants to bless you. He wants to pour himself into you. He wants to make a way through you so that everyone around you can be blessed. Change your prayer. Say, God, use me. Make me a blessing to those in my life, those around me. Use me, Lord, so that your name would be lifted up, so that you would be made great. Oh, don't be a person who under pressure curses. That's when you really know what a person is made out, when the heat is on, when the pressure is on, when the intensity, the pressure cooker, oh, you can either lock in the flavors and the seasoning or you can blow up and the curse will come out of you. You ever seen this? You ever known Christians who claim to be Christians? And then when things go wrong, things don't go right, they blow up and the curse comes out of them because that's what's in them. That's what's in them. Oh, they might, you know, it's like you ever cook meat and it's nice and nicely browned and it's well done on the outside. But then when you cut into it, you bite it and you go, ooh, this is not cooked enough. And all of a sudden you're going, oh, this is raw inside. You ever had chicken like that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I had that. Oh, and I got a story, let me tell you. And I tell you that there's nothing worse than biting into a nice, well done piece of meat only to find the inside is raw, especially poultry. Ooh, you ever bite it? It's pink inside. It's all, you're like, oh, what am I doing? And God says, I'm going to make sure you're thoroughly cooked and seasoned all the way through. You ever bite into meat, but then it's just bland? You're like, it looks good. It looks like it was cooked well, but it's got no flavor. It's got no flavor. You just try to put a little salt and pepper on top. You try to fix it up, right? You do this at restaurants, and you go, oh, man, what is? You're trying everything. You're like, do you have any of this, any of that? You're like asking them for other stuff to put on. Finally, you just go, all right, let's go with ketchup, right? You know, because you're looking for something to enhance the flavor, to bring out the seasoning. And the only way it really works well is when the seasoning is baked in. When it's cooked into the meat, when it's part of the process and the preparation, adding it on top is not really helpful a lot of times if it hasn't been done right in the first place. And so God has called us to experience life. As you go through life, God says, I am going to put you through the cooking process, but I'm going to season you with the Word of God. I'm going to let the Word of God saturate into your very core of your being. We have to get the Word of God from our heads to our heart. A lot of Christians have the Word of God in their heads. That's like putting salt and pepper on top. But once it gets into your heart, the only way the Word of God gets into your heart is when it's baked in. when it's a part of the process, when you're going through the challenges and the difficulties and you're meditating on the Word of God, you're leaning on the Word of God to get you through. You're trusting in God to get you through the heat of the moment, the situations and the circumstances. And God is just cooking you in. And the Spirit of God, He strengthens you. And all of a sudden, you begin to have flavor going down to your heart. Oh, I pray that you are able to experience God. I remember reading a book many years ago. It was called Missing Heaven by 18 Inches. And it was the story of how so many people, they have the Word of God in their minds and in their heads. They've memorized scripture and all this stuff, but it never makes it to their hearts, so their lives never change. They live like people who don't know God, and they find themselves being religious on the outside, but on the inside, they have no relationship with God. Their heart is not really for God. Their heart is really for themselves. And saints of God, we need a relationship with God. We need to build and cultivate that. And yes, there's going to be hardships and difficulties in life, but they're designed to bake the Word of God into us so that it's in our heart, so that we can have flavor for the world to taste, so that the people in our lives can taste and see that the Lord is good. So that our response in the times of pressure and hardship is not flight. We're not running. Satan causes people to run. Satan causes people to run, to want to flee. But when God is doing something, He draws you in. He bakes you in. You come to a place of humility. You come to a place of yieldedness and surrender. You are compelled before the Lord. You begin to cry out to Him. This is what God is doing in our lives. He is causing us to come to the place where He can pour into us so that we can be a blessing. It can overflow out into the people around us. In verse 4, it says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." And now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now Haran is the place where Abram's father decided to settle on their way to Canaan, the land of Canaan. And it was on his father's heart to go to Canaan, but when they got to Haran, he says, "Well, I guess we'll settle here." And we don't really know why he decided to settle there. The historians don't really know, and we don't really see that in the scripture or in the various historical documents that support this whole thing. Is not really clear on what happened with Abraham's father and why they settled there. But one of the speculations is that maybe Abraham's father wasn't really doing that well, and they decided to settle there instead of continuing to travel, because ultimately his father died here in Haran. Abram's father died here, and we see that in verse 11. And we see that over a period of time as they were there, then God finally spoke to Abram and said, "Okay, Abram, it's time to leave your family and let's go." And he takes with him Lot. Now, he really didn't intend to take Lot. That's his brother's son, his nephew. He didn't really intend to take him, and God didn't tell him to take him. But Lot wanted to go, and so he took him along. And so often we find ourselves, you know, in a situation where God is calling us to do something, but not everyone is called of God. Some people are just tagging along. Some people are just kind of going along through the process. And so that's important to understand, because even though you are having a certain experience and God is using you in a certain way, you have to always remember, not everyone is called. You are called to what God is calling you to do. Some people are just part of the supporting cast, if you will. They're just kind of coming along. And so even though they're family members or relatives, not everyone has the same call as you. And so you and your immediate family and your immediate household have the same call. God is calling you to work together, to pull together, to be effective at enabling your children and your children's children to grow in their relationship with God, so that they too can hear the voice of God. We need to learn to hear and recognize God's call in our lives. The Word of God is what brings that to life. It is the thing that we meditate on and we reflect on and that we allow to soak in so that it goes into our hearts and pumps throughout our bodies, enables us to do the will of God. In verse 5, Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Oh, when you are faithful to God, when you are following the will of God and the word of God, you will get to where God is taking you. You will get to that place. And when you get there, you settle in. You settle in. Don't settle in just random places, but settle in the place that God has brought you. And when God brings you to a place, we settle in. And that is where God's provision comes. That is when God begins to mold us and shape us. He begins to make a way for us. We grow where we're planted. You don't see where you plant a garden one day and over the course of a few weeks, by the end of the season, it's somewhere else in your yard. Right? It just doesn't happen, does it? No, that's not what happens. No, wherever you set up your garden and you plant, it's always there. It stays in that place. It doesn't just migrate while you're sleeping or while you're at work or making its way to a better place that it perceives to be a better place. But no, it grows where it's planted. And you and I have to do the same. We have to grow where we're planted. We have to allow God to pour into us. We have to absorb all that God is saying. God is not just giving us Bible studies and classes and sermons to preach. We spend time waiting on God, allowing the Spirit of God to speak and to saturate into us so that when we come together, that the word that we are presenting does not come from us, but we have become surrendered to God so God can speak through us so that you can experience a change of life, a different life experience, one that reflects the kingdom of God. And this is what Abraham is experiencing. God called him out of a land where they worshiped idols. Their family business was making idols. And so God pulled them out of that. And he says, I want you to stop serving idols and I want you to follow me. I am going to do great things in your life. I am going to establish a covenant with you. And so Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. And this is something we should always hold on to. Whenever you get where God wants you to be, there's always going to be a challenge to stay. There's always going to be a challenge to root yourself, to become grounded, to be effective so that you can grow and experience the provision of God. The Canaanites were in the land. Well, you would expect that because it was called the land of Canaan, right? And if the land of Canaan was the land that was flowing with milk and honey, then that means the Canaanites are having a good life there. They're enjoying their life. And guess who doesn't want to leave? The Canaanites, they don't want to leave. So that poses a problem, doesn't it? God is saying, I'm giving you this land, but yet it's somebody else's. And that is why the word of God says the riches of the sinner are stored up for the righteous. The riches of the sinner are stored up for the righteous. Why is that? Because it all belongs to God. And God says, I'm going to take it from over here and put it over there. I'm going to distribute it the way I want to distribute it. And those who are doing the will of God, those who are applying the word of God in their lives, God will pour into you. He will make provision for you. I'm not saying you're going to be the richest guy on the block. I'm saying that God will make sure that you don't lack. He will make a way, even when it seems impossible for you, the word of God says. He will open doors that no one can shut. He will cause all things in your life to work together for your good because you're following the call of God, not according to your own purpose, but according to the purposes of God. This is divine principle. And this is what God is working out in your life and mine. And this is what we have to train our children. My kids, they all went to public school. And we taught them, you are going in as missionaries. You are not like the other kids. And then, of course, we know I've had friends and people go to Christian school, and you find out they're no different in the Christian school than they really are in the public school, other than the curriculum might be different, but the mentality of the people is the same. And so we find that if you're not training yourself and your children deliberately to have the mind of a missionary or a mission-oriented person who is on in a covenant relationship with God with a purpose and a focus to be trained and modeled and raised up as a child of God, they will be secular in their mentality. Do you know why? Because of Facebook. Because of Instagram, because of all these other social media platforms that have more influence than you and me put together. Because while we are trying to pursue God and hold our homes together and keep our families together, we have this infiltration that is the world coming in, grabbing the minds of the kids, of those who are feeble-minded. The feeble-minded person can't even pull themselves away from their phone. They got to be looking at it all the time. You see people all the time, right? I see people in restaurants, and they're all looking at their phones. It's like, you know, it's like a sci-fi movie. You ever see these old sci-fi movies? It's just like it. You watch people, and it's like there's this thing going, woo, 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 woo. People are like, And that's what happens. And they can't get away. It's got a hold of them. It's got them. And you and I have to be free from all these things that bind us, that hold us. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a phone. I'm not saying you shouldn't have Instagram and all that stuff. I'm saying it shouldn't have you. And I'm saying that we should be careful, and we need to be able to allow all of these tools and resources that we have. In the old days, it was TV, right? It was TV. You'd sit in front of the TV going, you know, and you go out and all of a sudden your kids are acting all kind of crazy. You go, what? Where'd you get that from? Yeah, from that Disney program they were watching. That's how people respond. That's how they act. And so they've learned their ways from watching these programs and these things because they've been programmed in their minds to think a certain way. And that's what happens. And that's why parents and the people of God have to allow the Word of God to focus and to saturate your mind so that you can be renewed in God. Think about how much time you spend doing idle things that are carnal or secular, and then compare that to the amount of time you spend either in church or reading your Bible and praying or being, or applying some biblical truth or principle in your life. I'm sure the scales are way tipped in the wrong favor. And this is what has to change in our lives. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have anything or shouldn't do anything, but just, I'll be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, I'm saying that you need to walk with God. That you need to walk with God. You have to commune with Him. He's got to be someone who is a part of your life where you realize that you're following Him. He's calling you out of a carnal way, of the land of Haran. The Lord appeared to Abram in verse 7. He said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And the reason you see people building altars in the Word of God over and over again, it's so that the generations that are to come behind them would have something to remember what God did there by. There is something about leaving some way or some form of remembrance so that your children's children's children will remember what God has done for you. What is your inheritance? Proverbs says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Oh, what is the inheritance that you are leaving your children? And your children's children. What kind of inheritance? Does it have eternal value and eternal significance? Is it a reminder to remember what God has done for you in your life? Oh, I pray that you are building altars as you go through your life as a reminder to your children as to what God has done. We see this also in the life of Moses. Moses, he was called to lead the people out. The next thing that God does in our lives after bringing us out of a pagan mentality and way of life is he calls us to lead others or to help others. You and I must begin to be a blessing. You go from having experience experience the blessings of God to being a blessing. At some point, you've got to grow up and move into that place where you are the blessing. You are the person who's helping. You are the person who is speaking the word and bringing light and truth. And you are helping people to overcome challenges and difficulties. At some point, you are the one that God fills and enables to overcome. In Exodus 3, 4 to 10, when the Lord saw that he turned aside Moses to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am, here I am." So here, God is calling Moses. And just like God called Moses, God has called you and me. You wouldn't be in a relationship with Christ if you weren't called. You have been called. That's why you're in church. That's why you are in a family that serves the Lord. That's why you are connected to the household of faith. It's because there is a call on you. There is a call on your life, on your lineage. No one either is born of God as a first generation person who comes to Christ, or who is somebody who is carrying on the mantle, or who has been a part of a family that has served God. It doesn't matter which one you are. God has a role for you to play. He has a purpose for you. You will either be an Abraham or you will be a Moses. God is calling us to be a people, to recognize the call of God in our lives and respond to God when he opens doors. Verse 5 says, "And he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Oh, saints of God, you need to have a reverence for God. You need to have a fear of God. Believe me, it's scary what God can do. And there's nothing worse than having God show his wrath in the midst of you. I tell you, it is something that causes you to go, "Okay, God, I hear you. I hear you." And so often, there are people who don't quite make it into the place where they need to be because they failed to honor the word of the Lord. This is what happened to the Israelites as they went through the wilderness. There were some people in the group of the Israelite people. It was from the house of Korah, the word of God tells us, that they were like, "We want to go back to Egypt. We're wandering around for years here in the wilderness. What's going on? Is this Moses? Who does he think he is? Is he really hearing from God? Oh, who made him in charge of us anyway? We're going back. We had it pretty good in Egypt. We had plenty to eat. Everything was kind of going well. Yeah, we were slaves. We were servants. Yeah, they didn't really treat us right. There were all kinds of issues and problems. But hey, it was better than this. We're not going to follow this God and this Moses. We're going to go back and serve the gods of Egypt." And there are people who have this mentality. There are people who think this way. There are people who you will see go to church and they go interact and do all these things, but they have an Egyptian mentality. They operate, they think, they do the things that the people in the world do. Their whole perspective is from the world's perspective because they haven't saturated in themselves in the word of God. They don't have a relationship with God in such a way where they're able to recognize the call of God, what the word of God is saying. We read the word, we meditate on the scriptures, not because we all want to be preachers and pastors and deacons and leaders in the church. We do it because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We do it because we are being transformed from the inside out. We're having our minds renewed so that we are becoming like Christ. God is seasoning us, and he's seasoning us right. Seasoning us and seasoning us right. So that as we go through all of the things that life brings our way, we're not operating in fear, but in power and in love and of a sound mind. We're operating in the wisdom of God, under the inspiration of God. I tell you, if Moses went to Egypt and did all he did, and all he did was had words, the people would not have been let go. He could have went down there and said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Yeah, next. Next." Because Moses would have had no power. He would have threw down a stick and it just would have went clunk, diddy, clunk, diddy, clunk, diddy, clunk, clunk, clunk. He would have made all of these proclamations. He would have said all this stuff and nothing would have happened. They would have grabbed him and threw him and his entourage out. But that didn't happen because Moses didn't come with mere words. He came with the power of God. In verse 7, it says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians." Do you see that? He is delivering them from the power of the Egyptians. It takes power to fight power. If you don't have any power, then there is no fight. You can't deliver. You can't help. You can't do anything. All you can do is watch the one with the power just wreak havoc and do whatever they want. And saints of God, you and I are a people of power. But the power level that we have is dependent upon us. It depends on how much you invest in the kingdom of God, how much time you spend allowing the brine of the Spirit of God to saturate and bake in the Word of God till it gets from your head to your heart. This is why there's so many dried up Christians. Christians just dried up. They got no life in them. They're not fun. They don't have any excitement. They don't have any zeal. There's no love. There's no joy, no peace. No, they're all just like zombies. Praise the Lord. Yeah, blessed and highly favored. Don't forget that. I'm blessed. Yeah, well, I don't want a life like yours. So I don't know what kind of blessing that is. And saints of God, God has not called us to that. He said, "I came that you may have life. Life-giving life." That's Zoe life. That means you have so much life in you, it just oozes out of you. You're imparting it to others. And you might say, "Well, that's not my personality. I'm not that kind of person. Oh, I'm just me." No, but it's Christ in you. You are becoming like Jesus. You are in the process of becoming like him. You're not becoming him. You're becoming like him. And so that's a better version of you. That means you're going to come alive. You're going to be the one with the life. You're going to be the one with the joy and the peace. And you're going to impart that to others. It's going to ooze off of you. It's going to be who you are because you spent so much time with God. He's going to fill you with himself. And it's just going to overflow through you. Oh, you don't have to be the way you are. You ought to be changed. You ought to be changed into the image of Christ. We're becoming like the Lord. And God wants you to have life. He wants to be able to use you against the powers of this world. The powers of this world. That's what Egypt represents in the Word of God. And to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Every ite in your life, God says, "I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to displace them and give you the blessing that they have." Hallelujah. God says, "I am going to be your source of provision. I am going to bring you into a place where your needs will be met, where everything is going to be provided, where you will have opportunity." You see, all these things were in the land. They still had to plant seeds. They had to farm. They had to do all the things that needed to be done to cultivate that. And so they did. And so it's not going to be a blessing that doesn't require you to do anything. You're going to have to put a little effort into doing what God calls you to do. You're going to have to be obedient. You're going to have to apply the principles of God in his word. But if it's in your head, you're never going to do it. But if it's in your heart, man, it changes everything. And God is looking for Christians who have the word in their hearts, not stuck in their heads. Not just something you memorized and now you think about. No, you need to allow it to saturate, to meditate. So when you're going through the hardships, when you're going through difficult times, you go to the Word of God and say, "Lord, remind me so that I can respond not with a curse, but with the blessing of God. So that I can respond with words of life, that I would have hope and a future, that I would be able to see and perceive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing." In Exodus 3, verse 9, he says, "Behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." That's a purpose. You and I have a similar purpose. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of every nation. And he said that teach them to follow him, to obey him, to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's all of these things we know that are called the Great Commission, this charge of God that God has given us to be the people of God. We're to be like Moses. You're to go on your job. You're to go into your neighborhoods, your friends, your family members, everywhere you go and reflect the image of Christ. You will be like him. Your job is to lead people out of Egypt, out of that mentality, out of that mindset, out of that fallen mentality. Help them get free from their phone screens. Liberate them so that they can have an image of Christ and that they will be able to see the needs in the hearts and the lives of the people around them. You see, we're living in a culture where nobody cares about anybody else. That's why everybody's looking at their screen. If you put your screen down, you'll see people. You'll see people and you'll see that they need a savior. They need a hope. They need a way out. They need the liberty and the power of God. But if you're trapped in the same bondage as the people in the world, you can't help anybody. And we have to be able to get free so that God can liberate those who are around us. We need to be seasoned, and we need to be seasoned well. We need to allow God to overcome and magnify himself in our life. And so we see this in the life of Jesus. That is why he came. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And you and I, we are here because of what Christ came to do. This is a picture of what happens in the life of Abraham and Moses. This is the experience that God brought them through. Now you and I are having a similar experience. Jesus came and he led the disciples out. He brought them out of religious bondage. He brought them out of cultural bondage. He got them free from self-righteousness and from all the distractions of the world. He gave them a focus. He gave them a purpose, a reason for living, a sense of direction. This is what God brings into our lives. It says in Matthew 4:18, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. So here they are, and they're fishing. And he says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice it says, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is very interesting because immediately they left their nets and followed him. Here's Jesus. He shows up on the scene. He says, you know, come on, let's go. That's like here you are on your job, you're working, you're doing all the things that you need to do to take care of your family. In fact, it's your family business, right? Here are these guys with their family, their father, and they're working, and Jesus calls them, and they stop. They drop everything, and they follow Jesus. What kind of faith would that take? What kind of faith did Abraham have to leave his extended family behind and just take his immediate family and his nephew and pursue? And God didn't even say, per se, where he was going originally. He says, I'm going to take you to a land. I'll show you where to go. I'll show you where to go. But he gave him a general idea. He said, well, you were going to the land of Canaan. And so he gets there and he says, yeah, I'm giving you all of this. Hallelujah. And so often we think so small. We think so small when God is saying, yeah, I'm taking you to the land with the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, all the ites, and I'm giving you the land. I'm going to make provision for you. You have to be willing to follow after him. This is what Jesus was doing in the life of the disciples. He's saying, I'm going to change your life in ways that you can't even imagine. It's going to be so much beyond you. This is the covenant relationship that you and I have. We are on a journey through life. We are on our way to a place that is greater than earth. It is the place that God is preparing for us even now. So the disciples, they responded immediately. We have to learn how to respond immediately when God calls us. When we hear the word of God, apply it in your life immediately. Do what it says. Allow it to soak in. Allow it to saturate into your heart. In verse 21 of Matthew 4, he says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. and they were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So here they are, they left. They just did what Jesus called them to do. And you and I, we have to learn how to do what Jesus calls us to do. And sometimes you got to leave father, mother, wife, whoever behind. If they're not willing to follow the call of God, the will of God, you got to leave people behind. And you and I, we have to learn this lesson that we cannot allow the tail to wag the dog. If you're a child of God, the word of God ought to be your sense of direction. It ought to be the very seasoning that governs your flavor and purpose in life. It ought to be what makes you you. And this is what God is working out in our lives. We can't do it without power. You need the power of God. And that is why the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit leads the church with power so that we could stand, so we can resist the enemy against the spirit against of this world. We are fighting not flesh and blood, but principalities, Paul said, and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There are spiritual entities at work, and that is what holds Christians back. That is what binds Christians. That is what causes Christians to lose their focus, to get hung up on the wrong thing. We allow these things to dictate to us what the will of God is going to be or how we're going to be able to apply the word of God. Oh, saints of God, I don't know. Do you know any Jews that take jobs and don't tell them that they're not working on Saturday? Yeah, I don't know any. I don't know any. I'm talking about the ones that are real Jews. I'm not talking about the secular Jews. I'm talking about the ones that are really trying to follow the law the right way. And saints of God, you all know, there are shops and stores, they close on a Saturday simply because they're following their belief. And you and I, we know Muslims and other people, they have to pray 5 times a day. Those people, I don't care what job they're on, they will slip somewhere, they'll pull out their little carpet, and they'll go pray and do their thing. And saints of God, you as a child of God, how dedicated are you to the word of God? How dedicated are you to the truths of God? Or can the tail wag you as a dog? Can you be wagged if somebody grabs your tail and say, oh no, we need you to do this. Oh, what you're going to do is you lose your job. Well, as if God couldn't provide another one. As if God couldn't open doors and make a way for you. If your trust is not in God, then you're right. Let them wag you all day long. But if your faith is in God and your trust is in God, and I'm not saying you should never work on Sundays or you should never do it. I'm saying you need to be faithful to the word of God. There are sacrifices that we can make as Christians, and the Sabbath isn't made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. You know, we understand that the word of God has a design in it so that we can be effective as the people of God. You and I need to learn how to stand in the word of God. But if the word is only in your head and not in your heart, then you won't care. You'll just follow along. You'll follow along blindly. Wait till the mark of the beast shows up. Wait till the evil day shows up. You'll see how many Christians have the word in their head, but not in their heart. Because I guarantee you, just as easily as people just gave in to this whole coronavirus thing so quickly and easily, they will follow the Antichrist the same way. And you and I will see. This is a test run. You watch and see. And I tell you, you are in a state of preparation right now. God is molding and shaping us. This is opportunity to saturate yourself in the word of God so that you can be faithful to God, so that you can be true to God. This is what God is calling his people to be. And I'm not saying you should be a rebellious person. You're not somebody, oh, yeah, you know. You know, I'm not saying get caught up in conspiracy theories and all that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying that you need to learn how to hear from God for yourself so that you are not deceived, so that you are not misled, so that you are able to be established in God, so that you can make a stand and be the person you need to be, and the Spirit of God is the one who enables you to accomplish this. And so Acts 1:1, and we'll be closing shortly. The first account, he says, I composed Theophilus about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive. Notice he presented himself alive. Jesus didn't show up as a dead person. He showed up alive. And that was after they killed him. And so you and I, we have life-giving life in us. That's what the Spirit gives you life. It's the Spirit of God that enables you to have life everlasting, even after you die. That's why you need to make sure the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. You have to make sure you're operating under God's inspiration, under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And that will only happen as you abide in the Word of God. Let it saturate and renew your mind to the point where it gets to your heart, where it just comes to you. When you're in situations, the Word of God comes to your mind. Immediately, you remember what the Scripture says, and it governs how you feel. It changes what you think or what you're going to do, and it helps you to bring your emotions in check. Otherwise, your emotions are going to overwhelm you, and you're going to start responding and reacting because you're going to be filled with the wrong thing. But when you're filled with the Word of God, life will come forth out of you, and you will be able to speak those things which are concerning the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did for 40 days after he rose from the dead. And you and I need to be like Jesus. We need to be like him, where we're speaking the things concerning the Word of God. Verse 4 says, gathering them together, he commanded them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait. This is why you have to wait on God. You wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is that covenant promise that God has given us, that we would be like Jesus. You don't need just words. You need the Word and the power, because without the power, you won't be able to overcome the spirit that is in the world. It takes spirit to fight spirit. The Word of God only tells you how to get to a place where you can experience the Spirit. So the whole idea is to be able to bring down the spirit that's behind the thing that's causing people to do the thing that people do. Because people are mere vessels filled with something, some spirit that is causing their minds to think and operate a certain way so that they can find themselves going against God rather than working for God. This is why Jesus said the Antichrist spirit is already in the world. And so you and I have to learn how to operate in the Spirit. I pray you're teaching your kids how to operate in the Spirit, how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, how to recognize when God is saying something or doing something. I pray that you're training them up in the ways of the Lord so that when they're old, they will not depart from it, like Proverbs 22:6 says. And I pray that you are able to allow the promise of God, wait on God. Wait for the filling of the Spirit. Wait for the move of God. That's the saturating. That's the cooking in the oven. That's the letting the seasoning soak in so it goes all the way to the core. You know, I was in Africa and I had some chicken there. Yeah, it was all right. There was a bunch of kids all around us, and they were watching us eat, you know, during the lunch break. And I was like, I feel bad. I'm like, eating, these kids look like they're starving. You know, they want to eat. And so kids just came over. And so at the end, I was done. They were like, are you finished? And I said, well, yeah, I'm finished. And they're like, can we have it? Can we have what's left? I said, there's nothing left. There's only bones. They're like, oh no, that's plenty. And they took the bones. They took the bones. I had a little thing of bones where I had some chicken and rice, and they took it, and they there was like four or five of them. They broke it all up, and they ate the bones. They chewed it up, and they ate the bones. And they were like, oh, that is so good. They were like, oh, it's so good. And I'm going, what in the world? I'm like, what? And I'm like, can we get these guys some food, you know? And so, you know, but the whole mentality was so different. But they said there is good flavor even in the bones. And saints of God, I pray there's good flavor in your bones that hungry people would want to eat. That when you encounter your friends, your loved ones, people in your life, that you have been so saturated with the seasoning of God and his Word that it's in your bones. That when you interact with people, the flavor, there's that aroma, that smell of something cooking. Oh, when you're going through hard times, let people in your life smell the flavor of something cooking. Let it be the Word of God. let it be the word of God. Finally, John the Baptist with water, baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Saints of God, this is a promise of God. Abraham was liberated from idol worship. Moses was raised up to lead the people out of bondage and all cultural snares and all the challenges of the way of life in Egypt was establishing, just like the world today. And Jesus came to lead the disciples, to help them experience a new life, freedom from religion, freedom from cultural bondage and self-righteousness, everybody being independent. I don't need God, I can do it myself. This mentality, Jesus came to set people free from that. And the Holy Spirit came to give you power so that you can resist the devil, the spirits that are at work in people's lives, the things that hinder you and hinder me. God wants to season your life. Your life is a mere tasting. It's a tasting. I have some things here for you to taste. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, your life is just a tasting. You've been through some challenges. You've been through hardships and difficulties. And sometimes the wrong thing came out of you because you didn't have enough of God's word baked in. But saints of God, that's not the end of the story. You're only partway through. Let God continue his work in you. The word of God says that which he began, he will complete. The good work that God began in you, he will complete. He is not through with you yet. Allow God's seasoning to soak into your life. Oh, there's many different flavors of life. There's many different experiences that God brings us through. Many different things that you and I will be able to look at and say, oh, I can see that that was God. God was molding me. He is shaping me. He is making me something beautiful. God is making me something delicious, something tasty, something that is going to make others hungry and crave for. Oh, all this food talk, I couldn't let you go with nothing. And so you are to be seasoned by the word of God, by the things of God. Oh, saints of God, the word of God says he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And there is a day coming when we will stand before the Lord. And the word of God says he is preparing a banqueting table. And that is when Jesus returns. You and I will be able to experience all the goodness of God, all the blessing of God. Paul says in Ephesians 2:4, God being rich in mercy because of his great love, which was with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Saints of God, God, while you were a sinner, you don't have to get yourself together. You don't try to fix yourself. You don't have to try to make things better or make things right. All you need to do is let God saturate you with his word. He will change your flavor. He will cause you to be what God needs you to be. He will bring life to you. He will raise you up. He will seat you with him in the heavenly places so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit of God. And God is bringing you to life. God is molding you and shaping you. Don't worry about yesterday. Focus on today and tomorrow. Look ahead. Say, God, I'm trusting you. Lord, I'm looking to you. Let the word of God dwell in you because this is what you have to look for. In Revelation 21:1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Saints of God, this is your future. You are the people of God. You are called by his name. Rise up in the strength of the Spirit of God. Allow the word of God to renew your strength, to meditate on it, and allow it to transform and renew your mind so that God can use you to impact the lives of those around you. Ask God, Lord, make me a blessing. Ask God, for you to be a blessing, that you would have words of life, that you would be able to be a blessing to the people that God has placed in your life. Don't allow the enemy, the spirit of this world, to rob you of your identity in Christ, to rob you of the essence of the faith and the hope and the love of God that is in your life. I pray that you are being strengthened by God. I pray that you are able to realize that we are children of God. We don't know what we will be. It hasn't appeared yet. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Saints of God, I pray that the seasoning is the right seasoning, and you've got just enough of the right flavor saturating into your bones so that God can use you during hard and difficult times and be able to face the challenges that you might have to face, but you will face them in the power of the Spirit of God. Words alone won't do it, but when the Spirit of God is anointing the word in your life, oh, life will come forth from you, power will come forth from you, and you will be able to overcome every obstacle of the enemy by the power of the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Saints of God, God has come that you might have life, and life comes from the Word of God. I know you've got apps on your phone. You can listen to it and let it just speak to you. Let God speak to you. Say, God, just speak to me, Lord. Show me, God. Teach me, Lord. Help me, Lord. God, use me. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to my wife, to my children. I want to be a blessing to my friends and my family, my co-workers. God, use me. Use me to be a blessing. God wants to pour his Spirit out into the people of God for such a time as this. You and I, we need the Spirit of God. It will anchor you. It will stabilize you as God uses the Word of God to bring equilibrium to your life. He will season you so that when the times are right, you will be able to bring forth life. Your life will be one that will cause other people to be hungry. You'll walk by and they'll be like, what is that smell? And it won't be funky, but it will be tasty. Hallelujah. Why? Because you spent time with God. And because you spent time with God, the aroma. You ever have something baking in the oven that's been seasoned just right? Oh, you smell it throughout the house. Well, God says, I want people to smell you everywhere you go because you have been with God. The Word of God says there's a sweet smelling savor that was coming up from God. And God equates it to incense, like incense coming up. And he says that it's the prayer of God's people, the aroma of God's people coming before the Lord. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you have a relationship with God today, that you will allow God to bring you out of bondage, bring you out of darkness and sin, lead you into the land of promise, that you will be able to overcome, not like those who died in the wilderness because they couldn't get Egypt out of their minds. You know, there's an old saying, you can take people out of Egypt, but you can't get Egypt out of the people. Yeah, well, that's why they have that saying. And there are a lot of people who, even though they're born of God, they say they're Christians, they say they're in church, they're church-going people, they're filled with Egypt. And that's how they act. That's how they respond when situations occur. God says, don't let that be so. Change your kingdom alliance. Change your kingdom alliance from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. Allow the principles of God and His Word to transform your life. Let the seasoning of God and His Word saturate to the point of newness and a change of purpose, focus, and direction. And so, Lord, we pray, oh God, that You would manifest Yourself among us, that You would strengthen us and enable us. Teach us, oh Lord, to walk in Your ways, to be the people that You've called us to be, that we would be effective at representing the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that we would live and stand for His name's sake. God, that You would be glorified in every aspect of our lives. Wash us, cleanse us, heal us, deliver us, set us free from every form of bondage and oppression, and use us that we might be a blessing to all those You bring our way. Lord, we thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. And we thank you for coming out today to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. The altars are open if you desire prayer. We are here for you. God bless you as you go. Hallelujah. And
I know You hear my cry. Speak to me.